Wow, good to be with you. Good to be with you guys. You guys being blessed? Being blessed, man. God's been in it. He's been moving. And man, he's just so good, isn't he? He's so good. And we just need to remind ourselves, you know, these things aren't tedious for us. It is helpful to be reminded. And a lot of these workshops, you're sitting there and you're hearing things that you already knew. You already knew, and a lot of you were already doing the right thing, but it's good to be reminded. And it's good to realize that it's not just here, it's not just my church. We're doing this everywhere. We all have the same manual, the same book, the same Lord, the same God, serving the same kingdom purposes together. And so it's good to be of one mind, one accord. I was in my office, and I said before, I share an office with Pastor Dave, and he was asking me, you know, about the conference. He's been checking in with me, and I told him the other day, I said, yeah, you know, I think I finally have some direction for the main session that I'm going to be teaching. We're going to go to John 21, and we're just going to, man, look at how did Jesus interact with his disciples after his resurrection, and just making them breakfast and feeding them and asking Peter 3 times, do you love me? And then it's just going to be so sweet. We're just going to look at, you know, what it is to spend time with Jesus. And so that being said, you can turn to Psalm 103. Have you ever been unable to fall asleep and you're just talking to the Lord? And I just, Psalm 103 kept coming back to me. And anyone who knows me knows that this psalm has a special place in my heart, as it does for many of us. It's one of those well-worn psalms that you go to when you're feeling dry or weak or hurt or wounded or weary. Charles Spurgeon said, there's too much in Psalm 103 for 1,000 pens to write. It is one of those all-comprehending scriptures which is a Bible in itself, and it might alone almost suffice for the hymn book of the church. And so this is going to be really basic, guys. This is going to be really simple. I am just going to tell you what the Bible says. Is that okay? And we're going to let the Lord speak to us, and we'll try to just engage with, Lord, I'm going to take a minute and sit at your feet. Martha was distracted with much serving. That's a danger for me. That's one of my weak tendencies. There's so much to do. And we can get distracted with our serving and get buried under a list of to-dos and get lost in service. And we don't take time to sit at the Savior's feet and let him feed us and nurture us and give us what we need. I've said it before, and many people will say it again. The number one thing that all of us need to do is to spend time with Jesus. That's really elementary. That's children's ministry at its finest. This is the simplicity that is in Christ Jesus. Sit with Jesus and learn from him. Let him speak to you. And that only happens when we open up the Bible for ourselves alone with him, right? God got Jacob alone, and then he wrestled with him. And there are things that God does in our own hearts and souls and minds when we open up his word and open up our hearts and say, speak, Lord, your servant's listening. And so my prayer this morning is that some facet of Psalm 103 will be encouraging to you, will equip you, will refresh you, will renew you, will remind you of how great our God is, and that he actually wants you more than he wants your service. And so, you know, this psalm is good medicine for me. It's healing ointment. It's good anchor type stuff for our souls. I'm going to read through the whole thing. Psalm 103, a psalm of David. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executes righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the children of Israel. the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in mercy. He will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are higher above the earth, so great is his mercy toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him. For he knows our frame. He remembers that we're dust. As for man, his days are like grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourishes, for the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and its place remembers it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those who remember his commandments to do them. The Lord has established his throne in heaven. His kingdom rules over all. Bless the Lord, you his angels, who excel in strength, who do his word, heeding the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all you his hosts, you ministers of his, who do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And now we'll close in prayer. No, just kidding. But you feel like that, right? Do you not get like that? What more needs to be said? I'll try to say some more things, but that is everything that I need. Bless the Lord, O my soul. This is a psalm of David. We know David, the great psalmist of Israel, by no means perfect, a man of great failure, a man of great faith. I'm going through 1 Kings right now, and the Lord repeatedly says of those who came after David, either his heart was not loyal like his father David, who loved the Lord with all of his heart, he was completely loyal, or his heart was like his father David. And so David loved the Lord, a man after God's own heart. Bless the Lord, O my soul. We talk to ourselves occasionally, and especially in children's ministry, it can be a little isolating, and maybe you have your own little corner, and there you are talking to yourself, and there's people beginning to check in on you and are concerned. And just thinking, man, they just are constantly muttering, and we talk to ourselves. And that's good, and that's totally fine. Maybe we have a problem, maybe we don't, but sometimes we do need to talk to ourselves. Sometimes we do. And so David needs to get to he's having whatever kind of a day, and he says, soul, you need to bless the Lord. And we've all been through experiences where we have had to really give ourselves a talking to. And say, hey, we're going to bless the Lord today. This is the day that the Lord has made. I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it. It's not what you're feeling, but you know it's what you got to do. And so you tell your soul what's up, and you stand on some promises and open up your Bible and try to recalibrate the issues in your heart. And so sometimes we need to tell our soul, bless the Lord. Oh, my, all that is within me, bless his holy name. What does it mean to bless the Lord? Because all of us are the receptors of blessing. When the Lord blesses us, he reviews our needs and responds to them. And that is what it means to receive blessings from the Lord. When we bless the Lord, we review his excellencies and we respond to them. That is what Alec Matir said, commentator. The Lord blesses us out of our need with what we need. Our blessing of the Lord is just a response to his excellencies. Worship is our response, our reverential response in the context of a relationship with the Lord where we are just giving him what he is worthy of, the creator of the universe. So here the psalmist engages in self-talk and stirs himself up to worship, to praise, to exalt the Lord. He's not content with a partial stirring of his heart. How many of us have worshiped the Lord with distracted hearts? We're singing the words. We're there. We're present. But our hearts are not fully engaged. The kids in the back, this volunteer didn't show up today. Who's going to take care of, you know, we have this list of concerns and needs, and we're not really able to unburden ourselves fully so that we can worship the Lord with all of our heart. And so here, David needs to get himself in the place where I am going to intentionally, with everything that is in me, 100%, give all of my heart, all of my attention to the goal of blessing the Lord. We would say, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. Deuteronomy 6. Have you ever blessed the Lord with all that is within you? And maybe you're like, I don't know, but I want to. Good. Good. He can put that in you. Let me ask you this, though. Is there anything within you that you would keep that would keep you back from worshiping with all of your heart? Are there parts of you that can't enter into worship? Parts of your heart that aren't fully surrendered to the Lord? You've been holding on to something that you know the Lord is calling you to let go of. Some besetting sin. Something that you're clinging to. Maybe as an idol that he has called you to release. Maybe you think, I don't have time to bless the Lord with all that is within me. I'm in children's ministry, after all. You especially need to bless the Lord with all that is within you. Psalm 139, a great prayer at the end of that precious psalm. Search me, O God. Know my heart. Try me. Know my anxieties and see if there is any wicked way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. Maybe you haven't worshiped the Lord with all of your heart recently, but are you willing to be led to the place where you do? You need to let him lead you. That happens as we spend time in his word. In order to stir ourselves up to worship with all that is within us, we must keep the Lord's benefits in mind. Look at the next verse. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Forget not all his benefits. Worship is a response to who God is, to what he has done. If our view of God is small, then our worship of God will be small. Our service will be small. Open up the Bible and let God give you a big view of himself. His greatness is unsearchable. He enlarges our hearts as we spend time alone with him. I can't say it enough. Surrendering to the Lord does come with a cost, but it also comes with loads of benefits. Loads of benefits. You know, if you get a job, you consider what the benefits are. Are there any benefits? You know, what's in the package? What's the benefit package for me? I don't know if that was in your mind when you came to Christ, but there's a load. There is a load. We don't have time to get through them all, but there are many benefits to following the Lord, to surrendering your life to him. So let's look at something. We need to be reminded because we do forget. We are leaky vessels, are we not? Some of us are bigger forgetters than others. My wife is my brain. She keeps all of my thoughts in her brain and mine for me. I don't know how it happens. It's not how I'm made. I think it was my son when he was 4 years old. I couldn't remember something, and he just came over and consoled me and said, "That's all right, Dad. You're a forgetter." And I was like, "Okay, all right. You know it. Mom's the rememberer. I'm the forgetter." And so me, more than anyone else, we need to be in God's word. We're forgetters. You're a forgetter, right? So I'm like, all right, yes, I'm a forgetter. Thank you for reminding me. I had forgotten. Who forgives all your iniquities? What are the benefits? Who forgives all your iniquities? Who forgives all your iniquities? That's the twistedness in us. That is the things that are off in us, the things that are contrary to the Lord. Have you ever known anyone so merciful as our God? Not even one of our sins unforgiven. There is no condemnation in Christ Jesus. Do you live with the weight of some sin that Christ has forgiven you from? Do not let the accuser hold that against you. That has no weight. When we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us all of our sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Do not carry the burden for something that God has forgiven in Christ Jesus. Go and sin no more, Jesus said. Neither do I condemn you. He has forgiven all of our iniquities. And I would just say, is your heart like Christ? Do you harbor unforgiveness against anyone? You're happy to receive forgiveness, but not so happy to dish it out. Forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you, Paul would write to the Ephesians. Who heals all your diseases. Remember, David is still talking to his own soul. Who heals his soul's diseases. We are born sick, are we not? There is a sickness that goes beyond mental and physical. There is a soul sickness. And the physician came to heal those who are sick. He didn't come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance, of which I am one. And so we go to the great physician, and as we do, his hand is not shortened that it cannot save. He heals all of our diseases. And we have the glorious promise and the truth that one day that will be true of our physical frame as well. Praise God. But for now, we have healing within. And sometimes the Lord is gracious and heals us physically, mentally, but one day we will be made whole. I want you to take note as we go through of all of the uses of the word all. When God does something, he does it all the way. He never quits halfway through. He's faithful to complete the work that he started. I'm so thankful. Who redeems your life from destruction? If you're redeemed, you're purchased, you're bought at great cost to the Lord himself. First Peter would say, knowing that you are not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold, from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but you were bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ as of a lamb without blemish and spot. The Lord is our Redeemer. Job knew it. Filled with the Spirit, he said, I know that my Redeemer lives. Out of the pit of his despair and suffering. What do we hold on to when we're weary, when we're struggling, when we're sick, when we don't have enough volunteers to staff the ministry, when things are burning to the ground at church and at home, and we're like, what in the world is going on? I know that my Redeemer lives. Jesus is alive, so it's going to be all right. Let that impress itself on your heart. You have been redeemed from destruction. And that is our desire for the kids that we, Lord, redeem them, rescue them from destruction. These souls that you've entrusted to me. Who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. The Lord adorns us. He makes something beautiful of us. He desires to just bestow upon us such rich blessing. I love these joint words, don't you? Loving kindness. That's a good kind of kindness. I like that one. I'll take some of that. Tender mercies. Praise God. Not harsh mercies. He's so tender with us. You know, if he did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for all of us, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places, the things that God desires to ornament our souls with, to crown us loving kindness, tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things. Taste and see that the Lord is good. He is good. He satisfies us with what is truly good. We can look for satisfaction in so many of the wrong places. And we will never come up satisfied. Lots of cisterns, worldly things that we can plug ourselves into. And whether it's esteem of men or, appreciation or recognition or, it can be lust or pride or comfort or money or any number of things. No, go to the Lord for your satisfaction. Go to him. He will give you what you need. So that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Revival. You know, I just think when I was reading this, I was, obviously you go to Isaiah 40, you know, he gives power to the weak, those who have no might, he increases their strength. Even youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall fall, but those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. You know, our bodies might be stuck, but our souls can soar above it all. We need to let God raise our souls to higher heights than the world that's burning down around us. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Wait on the Lord. It feels like inaction. It feels like you're not actually doing anything, but you open up that Bible and you get before the Lord and you just wait on him. And he will give you moment by moment strength if that's what he needs to do. Don't worry about tomorrow. He'll give you what you need today. Isaiah 55, I think of. Everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. You who have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend money for that which is not bread? And your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good, and let your soul delight itself in abundance. Has the Lord given us what we need? Yes, and amen, he has. It is found in the riches and depth of his word. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. Feed on his faithfulness. Feed on his word. Don't neglect it. It is your very life. And in it, he will correct, rebuke, instruct, give you what you need. Do not abandon the very thing that God has given you to be satisfied in him. Spend time with Jesus. Do not spend money on what does not satisfy. Delete the social media. Unplug the screen. Open your Bible. Put the phone away. Whatever you got to do, slow yourself down. Set up some healthy boundaries. Sit with Jesus. One author said about these verses, he takes us from the courtroom, forgives all our iniquities, to the hospital, he heals our diseases, to the slave market, redeems us from destruction, to the throne room, crowns us with loving kindness, to the banqueting hall, he satisfies us, and to the tent, youth is renewed like the eagles. I liked that. God is so good, so gracious. You know, Jesus would look at the woman at the well and he would say, whoever drinks this water is going to thirst again. But I've got something for you. And the water that I will give you, you'll never thirst. The water I shall give will become in you a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. There's only one person who can give it to us. There's only one who can satisfy. And the kids in our ministry need to interact with people who have been satisfied at the foot of Christ, so that they can go and feed those kids and show them what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. Someone who has spent time with Jesus. What was said about the apostles? These are unlearned men, but they took note that they had been with Jesus. They had been with Jesus. Continuing on, verse 6. The Lord executes righteousness and justice for all, there's that word again, who are oppressed. There is a judge. One day every wrong will be righted. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord, I will repay. And I'm so glad that's his responsibility. Nothing goes unnoticed. No one gets away with a thing. Everyone is going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And that's just not for the person that you don't like. That's for you too. He is good and he is right. And he is right in his judgments. You know, he made known his ways to Moses, verse 7 says, his acts to the children of Israel. David knew his history. There was Moses. God revealed himself to him in the burning bush, spoke to him. In Exodus 33, God would speak to Moses and Moses would speak to God. He would say, Moses would say, I pray if I found grace in your sight, show me your way. Show me your way that I may know you. And that I may find grace in your sight. And the Lord would respond several verses later. After Moses requested to see the Lord's glory, he said, I will make my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will be compassionate to whom I will be compassionate. Be merciful to whom I will be merciful. You know, the Lord has made known his way to us. It's in his word, but he is also the way. He is the answer, the truth, the life. Draw from him. He wants you to know so much more than the Bible. He wants you to know him, the author. These are all things that we already know. He made known his acts to the children of Israel and to us. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in mercy. Do you believe that? Merciful and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in mercy. He will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. So he went from speaking to his soul now we're a collective, now we're speaking as a group. He went from telling his soul to bless the Lord to now we're doing it together, talking about the people of God. He's done what he needs to do to get himself to church, surrounded by the saints. Now it's a collective. Now it's something that we're doing together. And sometimes we're in that situation where we just need to get into the car and get to church and sit under the word. No excuses. You're like, I don't know, but soul, you got to get there. You got to get in that seat. And then once you're there, the people of God take over and you're just there. They're all praising the Lord, worshiping, singing things that are eternally true and impactful and powerful. And the ministry of the word is going out and doing its perfect work in your heart. And you leave and you're just like, so thankful I came to church today. So thankful for the people of God that I don't have to do this thing together. Satan works on us when we live in isolation. God puts the isolated into families, his word says. The family of God is a gift to us. Don't neglect it. I mean, Asaph talked about that. And he said, hey, I looked at the world, the prosperity of the wicked. My heart had just about slipped. I was almost backslidden, stumbled by it until I went into the sanctuary of the Lord. And I remembered their end. So he will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. You're going to make mistakes. You're going to fumble. You're going to fail. David, on the forefront of his mind, I'm sure, is thinking of Uriah, Bathsheba, the brokenness of his own family, the fruits of his own sin. You reap what you sow. And he was met with those things, not with death, but with grace, with compassion, with mercy. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor punish us according to our iniquities. You know, until we have stirred ourselves up, we're going to be unable to stir others up. But once we get to the point where we're with the people of the Lord, then we are encouraged, hey, don't neglect the gathering of yourselves together. Stir one another up to love and good works. Sometimes we have to stir ourselves up just enough to get to the place where others can pick off where we left off. You know, there's only one thing that we deserve, and none of us have received it, have we? 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God. The psalmist reminds us that what we deserve has been mercifully withheld, and all that we don't deserve has been graciously given. Mercy and grace. All that we don't deserve has been graciously given, blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places, accepted in the beloved, children of God, lavished upon us the riches of his kindness in his goodness towards us. God is so good. His benefits are many. His grace is big. His mercy is more. As the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. You know, we were going through some select Psalms reading with my boys. We read the Bible at dinner time, and I selected this one. I had to. It's my fave. And we got to this point, and, you know, my wife grabbed the globe and said, all right, let's do it. Let's go as far north as we can. And you did, all the way up top. All right, then what do you start doing? You start going south. Hey, there's a limit there. All of us know this. You can only go north so long before you start going south. But you can go east forever and not start going west. And you can go west forever without going east. And that's how far the Lord has removed our transgressions from us. They're not sitting up on a top shelf somewhere. They're not buried in some mountain where someone can go dig them up and retrieve them, where we can go get them and claim them for ourselves again. No, they are removed and hidden away. Corrie ten Boom said, God takes our sins, past, present, and future, and dumps them into the sea and puts up a sign that says, no fishing allowed. I like that. I like that. God is so good. He's removed our transgressions from us. As a father pities his children, verse 13, so the Lord pities those who fear him. God is compassionate. That means that he sees our need and he is moved to action. Compassion takes action. The Good Samaritan had compassion. Jesus looked out on the people and they were like sheep without a shepherd, and he had compassion on them. we have a high priest who can sympathize with our weaknesses. He is compassionate. And so just like a father would pity his children, would have compassion on the needs of his children and not hold their faults or their immaturities against them, we have the heart of a father. This is family language. We go from the King of the universe to a loving father. It is by his Holy Spirit that we cry, Abba, Father. Jesus instructed us that when we pray to say, Our Father in heaven, the Lord's not unsympathetic towards our struggles. I don't know what it might be for you. A physical ailment. What need? What burden? What brokenness? A relationship. But the Lord is not unsympathetic toward it, toward our struggles. His heart is actually drawn to us in our weakness. The Bible graciously tells us that he is near to the brokenhearted. Do your kids know that? When you walk a child through their mom's cancer diagnosis, or when a friend dies, when a pet dies, when all they want more than anything is for dad to come home, you let him know that the Lord is near to the brokenhearted. He is drawn to us in our weaknesses. He desires to pour his strength and all-sufficient grace into our stumblings and failures. And when we fail, and when we are faithless, he remains faithful. The Bible says he doesn't break a bruised reed. He doesn't quench a smoking flax. And his invitation that goes out is to the broken, to the lame, to the maimed, to the blind, to the outcasts. And he goes and he brings them in to his table to enjoy the banquet, to enjoy his benefits. He knows our frame, verse 14. He remembers we are dust. You know, we are forgetters. The Lord's not. His expectations for us are just right for the balls of dirt that we are. We're dust. Nothing to brag about there. The strongest, most fit individual on the planet, the picture of health, is just a compact ball of dirt. You're going to go to the ground one day. The effects of sin are not lost on them. And the Lord remembers that we're dust. He knows our form. He actually formed the first, didn't he? From the dust of the ground, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. He knows our frame. He remembers that we're dust. Do you remember that you're dust? You're like, oh, I'm definitely dust. Definitely. I feel like dust. Yeah, 100%. My knee's dust. My hip's dust. My mind is dust. It's all just dust. Yeah, definitely. What's your estimation of yourself? Is it my ministry? Is it my kids? Is it my event? Is it my volunteers? It's the Lord's. You're dust. You have weaknesses. You have faults. You have failures. And the Lord graciously uses you anyway. And he pities you as a father does his child. He remembers that we're dust. And we're like, Lord, I wish I could do so much more. I'm so broken. I'm so beaten up. I can't even hang on. And he's like, I know you're dust. I'm not freaking out. I'm right here. I'll give you everything you need. As for man, verse 15, his days are like grass. As a flower of the field, so he flourishes. We love looking at fields of flowers, just beautiful, the Lord's creation, color, creativity. The wind passes over and it's gone, and its place remembers it no more. That's really reassuring. You know, you could look at that and think that you don't matter at all. Like, all right, I got however much time the Lord gives me, and then I'm done. And no one's going to remember me. After 5 years, 10 years, 50 years, 100 years, your name's nothing. But that's not going to be true of your impact that you made for the kingdom of God. Heaven's writing that story down. The Lord knows you. The Lord remembers you. Is that enough? Or do you need to make a name for yourself? Babylonians tried that. Didn't work out too good for them. Let's make a great name for ourselves. But if the Lord comes and he comes to you and decides to make your name great, that's his to do. Let him exalt us. We have nothing to brag in. Lord, teach us to number our days, right? That we may gain a heart of wisdom, redeeming the time because the days are evil. with our hands to the plow, knowing that the night is coming when no one can work. Our time here will soon be past, and only what's done for Christ will last. Verse 17, back to the Lord. That's where our boast is. The mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting. He's never going to run out. You're never going to come to God and be denied. Ran out of mercy today. Sorry, I'm all out. Come back tomorrow. Not going to happen. His heart is deep. It's full, everlasting to everlasting, eternally, on those who fear him. Do you fear the Lord? Do you reverence him? Are you in awe of him? Do you trust him enough to sit with him and take time with him? To consider that the most important thing for you to do? His mercy is for those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children. This is generational. You know, your name may pass and fade as you go to the ground, but the things that you sow into the lives of these kids, that you yourself has received from the Lord, Gil said it. Who knows how many apples are in the seed? That's for the Lord to decide. You just be faithful. Faithful to sow the seed, faithful to water it, watch it grow. Pray that the Lord makes it fruitful for the kingdom hundredfold. His righteousness is to children's children. It doesn't stop with us. It has to go to the next generation and the next after it. And that'll happen as we remain faithful to sit at the feet of Jesus and remember all these things that he said. Remember his benefits. Worship him. Remember who we are. We're dust. We're nothing. Yet our heavenly Father comes alongside of us and loves us with all of his heart. To such as keep his covenant and to those who remember his commandments to do them. To do them. What do you do for the Lord? I know that you do a lot for the Lord. But what do you do from his word? Do you love him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength? Let's start there. Do you seek first the kingdom of God? Let's start there. And then all these things will be added to you. Jesus said, the foolish man builds his house on the sand. The rains come, the floodwaters rise, the winds blow. That house falls. The wise man builds his house on the rock so that when the winds come, the rains come, the floods rise, the house stands. And the wise man is the person who hears his words and does them. It is not enough to hear the word, do it. You got to do it. And he will work in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. It's his work. No boast or brag here on our part. But you got to put your heart open before him and let him do that work in you so that that's what comes out of you. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Fill your heart with Jesus and let Jesus fill your heart with his word. Your kids will have everything they need. Your volunteers will have everything they need. You will have everything that you need in every season because God is faithful. And he has not withheld anything that we need. Wait on him. He'll renew your strength. The Lord has established his throne in heaven. I'm so thankful. Established. That means it's never going to become undone. There's no end to it. It's not going anywhere. God's not going anywhere. He's here to stay. He's actually coming back, if you haven't heard. We're all looking forward to it, aren't we? Jesus, come quickly. Man, there's a lot of messed up things in this broken world. Not a single politician's going to fix it. We need the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that he is Lord, and the Prince of Peace will reign on his throne. But there is a throne now, and we are a part of his kingdom, and we acknowledge him as King, not just with our lips, but with our lives. And so his throne has been established. It's not going anywhere. The work of the ministry will continue when you are gone, no matter what happens to your church or to your fellowship. Everything that happens is affected by sin, but where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. Praise the Lord. His kingdom rules over all. We can get discouraged and we can think, does the Lord really rule over everything? Because there is a prince of the power of the air. There is a spiritual enemy that we have. There is someone who roams about like a lion seeking who he can devour. And sometimes we do. We just feel like lion food. We're like, man, the lion's just been chewing on me today. I don't know what is going on. But greater is he who is in you. The Lord's not slack concerning his promises. He's good for every word. He is faithful. His throne is established. His kingdom is over all. And Jesus right now has a name that's above every other name. Every power, every kingdom, every person, every idea, every sickness, every disease. He's above it all. He's above it all. Let him lift you up to those heights. Ephesians says we are already seated with Christ in the heavenly places. But man, we can feel real low sometimes. If we spend too much time looking at the world around us, or too much time even looking inside at ourselves, we'll just get discouraged. We'll despair. Robert Murray McShane, I love him. Dear brother, only lived to 29 or 30. But he said, for every look at my own heart, I remind myself that I need to take 10 looks at Christ. And then things will be in the right perspective. Spend your time looking at Christ. Bless the Lord, you his angels, who excel in strength, who do his word, heeding the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all you his hosts, you ministers of his who do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And I think by the end of the psalm, he's there. I think he's got it. I think he's brought himself to the point where his soul is truly blessing the Lord. You know, and sometimes we just have to keep doing the thing out of obedience. The emotion isn't always there. We have to remain faithful, sure of our calling, standing on the promises of God, along with the people of God, and let the Lord do his perfect work in our hearts. You know, that being said, I would just say, if there's anything in my heart that is consciously and knowingly contrary to refusing to bend the knee to God and his word, then again, you're not going to be able to bless the Lord with all that is within you, because I'm holding on to something that the Lord is calling me to surrender. And your ministry will never be what it should be until you let that go. And that might be scary, but that's what faith is. And you can trust the Lord. Remembering his commands to do them only comes from sitting at his feet in his word, the whole counsel of God. And then it can have an impact not just on our children, but on our children's children, a multi-generational impact for the kingdom of God. Isn't that what we want? Let's not forget he's on the throne right now. Jesus has been given a name above every name. No one will take that away from him. God rules. God commands. All authority and power is his. And even though he is so high and lifted up, he extends to us forgiveness, mercy, grace. The King of Kings, awesome in power, mighty in battle, has compassion on us and knows us and remembers that we are dust. I want to read this to you from Gentle and Lowly. If you haven't read that book, do it. But read your Bible first. That's what we just talked about. And he's just talking about the heart of Christ. And Jesus said, come unto me, all you who labor, who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Some of us are so tired, so weary, so beat up, beaten and bruised, man. The answer is not found scrolling through social media. It's found at the foot of Christ. Here's what Dane Ortlund said. We can't close this chapter without thinking about the children in our lives. Jonathan Edwards told the kids he knew, there's no love so great and so wonderful as that which is in the heart of Christ. How might we, in our own way and time, do the same? What is it that the children we greet in the hallways of our church need? What is it that they need most deeply? Yes, they need friends. They need encouragement. They need academic support. They need good square meals. But might it be that their truest need, the thing that will sustain and oxygenate them when all these other vital needs go unmet, is a sense of the attractiveness of who Jesus is for them, how he actually feels about them? With our own kids, if we are parents, what's our job? That question could be answered with 100 valid responses, but at the center, our job is to show our kids that even our best love is a shadow of a greater love. To put a sharper edge on it, to make the tender heart of Christ irresistible and unforgettable. And we only are able to show the kids that heart when we have sat with Christ ourselves and when he has poured himself into us, and we know that we ourselves have been forgiven. And grace received should be grace bestowed. We too have the privilege of finding creative ways of drawing in the kids all around us to the heart of Jesus. Stand on the word of God. Trust in the power of the word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It's the power of God to salvation. If we truly believe the promises, that is what we will feed our children, and that is what we will feed on. And when we do, we will bless the Lord. And when we do that, it will cause the people around us to bless the Lord. And when we all do that, then the Lord will see what he will receive, what he truly is worthy of as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, who has stooped down to us so that we could be drawn near to him. An old theologian, after writing thousands upon thousands upon thousands of words on the Bible and theology and doctrine, was asked at the end of his life, "How would you summarize all that you've learned, all that you've written? What would you say? What would you leave the world with?" And he took a moment and he said, "Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so." Do not be so quickly removed from the simplicity that is in Christ Jesus. God wants you, not just your service. And when you give yourself to him, you will serve. Because who wouldn't? Receive what he has for you. Sit at his feet. Don't neglect the most important thing, and you'll have everything you need to serve him faithfully. Let's pray. Lord, a lot in there, and a lot of different ways that could hit us, but I would just ask that you would give each of us what we need to feed on your faithfulness, to taste and see that you're good, to bless you with all that is within us. If there's some besetting sin, something inside of our hearts that's unsurrendered, if there is something that would keep us from blessing you with all of our might and all of our strength, I pray that you would help us to relinquish our grasp on it, Lord. If we're so weary and tired that we can't even muster up enough strength, Lord, to praise you, I pray that you would strengthen our knees, that you would be the lifter of our heads, Lord. For those of us who are broken, I pray that you would be the mender, the healer. I thank you for all the benefits that are in Christ Jesus. Lord, you're good, you're great, and we don't know the half of it, but we want to. So I pray that you would fill us with the fullness of God, and that you would enlarge our hearts to receive more from you, and that you would fill us with that living water so that would pour out onto the people that we minister with and minister to. Be glorified in us and through us. It's in your name we pray. Amen.